at this time, I don't know that they need a big introduction. We know Josh and Tony. We go way back with them. Some of us are newer, but Josh is a really good friend of Bill Sweeterman, and don't hold that against him. But they go back, way back, and Josh came to us about a little more than 10 years ago now, and with this vision for a missionary work in the Dominican. And it was exciting, it was ambitious, and it's really been neat to see what God has done through them and their faithfulness. So we want to hear about it. Let's welcome Josh and Tony.
Good morning. It is good to be here. Maybe everybody that comes up and speaks says that. This is a very comfortable place for us. Maybe that's the highest compliment that I can give. There are several places that we visit and we speak and things when we're on furlough, and furloughs are starting to get back to normal now. We had a year or so without them. This is a very comfortable place for us, this home church body. We just really appreciate it to be able to take some time from pulpit time. I value that. That's not something I take lightly, to take this preaching block of your guys getting together this time and giving it to us to give an update. That means a lot. I appreciate that. I understand what that means. All right. So we're going to give you a bit of an update and really almost even recap the last 10 years. So we have been in the DR for 10 years this past Tuesday. We did first come over and meet you guys and some of the elders at Bill's house. So it's been more like 12 years ago when we first started. Kurt and Kate came down a week after we did. So they've been there the whole time with us. And it was just one of our visits to church that Kurt and Kate heard about Freedom and checked it out. And then they came down. So it's worked out. It's been good. It's been good. We've gone through a lot of changes in 10 years, not just the growth that has just been rocketing through Freedom for 10 years. And then, of course, like the whole world hits COVID and things get all shaken up. Our school closes down. And Tony's going to talk a lot about the school. It reopened last Monday after 15 months of being shut down. And again, she's going to go into all those details. And then Freedom itself has gone through a really big change all this year, back in January, just a change of leadership and some things there. So a lot of change over the 10 years and a lot of change this year so far. But our mission and our vision is the same. And you can see it here. You know, equip people to engage culture according to their design. And that's not just a Dominican culture. Of course, that's for everyone, everywhere, right? And then our vision, develop life-changing relationships with those most unlikely so that they become catalysts for change within the Dominican Republic. Now, that one's more towards the Dominican Republic, but that's what we do. And again, just with our update today, we're going to kind of go through that a little bit. So the basic timeline, Freedom was actually established in 2008. Like I said, we started deputation, raising support, meeting with churches, starting to see if this is really for us at that time. June 2011 is when the ministry officially began in the DR. Our first missionaries were on the field in 2010. We were down there 2011. The ministry officially started in 2011, and then what that looked like, we had a couple of teams come down that first summer as well. But then what that looked like was just doing VBS in the villages, in the batés. So that's the word for a Haitian village, is a baté. So we'll use that word. If you haven't heard that yet, baté is a Haitian worker town, worker village. And so the way we would introduce ourselves in a village was we would go in and we would do a Creation to Christ study, a VBS, for 50 days. So we did 10 straight weeks of VBS in Abate, and just a chronological walk through the entire Bible, creation to Christ. So we did that in Abate Lima, as you can see up there, was our first Abate. And then in that Abate is where we started a preschool. Then you can see January 2012. And so we rounded up some 3-year-olds and we started the preschool. And then fast forward, August 2021, Freedom Christian School. And again, Tony's going to give you more details about the school and things like that. But we basically started in Abate with a preschool, 3-year-olds. And then from then to now, we just keep adding 3-year-olds every year. We would add 30 at a time. Then we add 60. Then we add 90 3-year-olds 1 year. And of course, the other ones that were already there, they just keep bumping up. So now we're up to 7th grade, and we're up to 500-plus students. Even those numbers are a little bit skewed. And again, she's the principal of the school, the director. So she's going to give you all those details on that. And this is the last time we were able to take a class picture. I know you can't like probably see that or faces, but that's just a herd of kids from 3-year-old, you know, up through going into seventh grade. And it's really incredible. And we did start that preschool, you know, 2011, January 2012. There was 20 in the very first class, 2021, you know, and just to see it grow in this way has really just been incredible. So actually, Tony is going to speak now, then I'll speak again, and then we'll do some wrap up and questions and all kinds of good stuff. So we're going to keep going right through here.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, like Josh said. So this is a picture. This picture was actually taken in August of 2019, the last time that we had like all our kids on campus. This was only up through sixth grade at that time, but it's kind of cool to think we have a something that we pray for on a weekly basis is our vision statement for the school. So you saw the vision statement for Freedom International Ministries, and that's kind of we come up under that as the tool for discipleship. That's what the school actually is. And we're praying that in this picture are 411 kids, that all 411 of those kids will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and that they'll become men and women of faith, and that from that, we say we want them to glorify the Lord in the way that they lead intentionally. You know, we want to create leaders for their communities in the way that they create meaningful community, that they know how to go out and involve other people, build relationships with other people, and that they rest in their God-given sense of wholeness. The reason that we chose a school is because we know that God has created them with different gift sets and abilities, that they're not all going to graduate and become, all the men aren't going to become pastors. They've been created to become mechanics and hairstylists and whatever it is that the Lord has created them to be, that they'll do that to the glory of the Lord. And so it's kind of cool to look up there and see all those faces. And God's got special gifts and abilities inside every single one, each one of them. And that's what the school is designed to do, to disciple each one of them to the glory of the Lord. So I'm going to give you some stats on Freedom Christian School. Now we're about 522 students, so we added 90 more 3-year-olds, and that's what we're at right now. We have a licensed Dominican teacher over every single class. And so that's our accreditation process that we have. We pull our kids from several different batays, so sugarcane villages, some that are privately owned from Central Romana. That means dads must work for the sugarcane company in order to live in that village. So in Bate Lima, for example, if you have a home there, that means you work for the company. And your home is determined by the position that you have. If you just cut sugarcane, you're going to live in a barracks. Like these kids are in front of a barracks in this picture. If you go to the next slide, I'll show you some different housing. If you maybe work at a weigh station where you weigh the sugar cane, you might get a block home. And it doesn't depend on the size of your family. Those girls that were in the previous picture, there are maybe 7 of them, and they just live in like a 10-by-10 room. There's not any electricity. There's minimal electricity. They might get electricity for an hour or so a day. No indoor plumbing. Provided in those villages. We also do pull our students from a nearby town of Ramon Santana. There's limited electricity there. Some do have access to water. But we just think that we want to pull all the kids that are in about an 8-mile radius from our school. We provide the transportation. We pick them up. We bring them in. We provide their breakfast and their lunch for a day. And then we send them back out. And we feel that that 8-mile radius, God has given to us. And so we offer them. There is public education. It's not actually free because you have to have a uniform. We actually charge 500 pesos a year just so that the parents, that's equivalent to, $10, about $10 or $12, so that they just have some responsibility. They share in that responsibility. And we work with the parents on how do I save up 500 pesos, and we, you know, actually have those conversations that you don't buy this month, and so we work with them on that. And so our normal school year, thank you. In a normal school year, this has not been a normal school year. We take our kids on field trips. A lot of them, we live 8 miles from the ocean. Most of them, I would say upwards of 90%, have never seen the ocean. They've not been 8 miles in to see that. And so through sponsorship, we have child sponsors. Almost all of our kids, our goal is to get a sponsor for every single one of our students. So they have somebody else in their corner praying for them. We know it's a spiritual battle, and a lot of times we actually can sense it, can feel it with our students. And so that they have somebody else praying for them. There's also class sponsorship that gives me a little bit more flexibility in choosing curriculum and doing things like this, taking once a year field trip to go see, like, this is the aquarium, go to the zoo. And so our kids, there's just a lot of life skills you learn in taking a field trip. And so it's an invaluable experience for them. We also go out to the communities. Our kids are lined up to do a parade for Independence Day. And we try to take our students out to the villages where nobody takes a parade. And we go out there and to show, just to show our parents what our kids have learned and that they can march in a parade and those types of things. We have we transport our parents in at least two times a year for in December and in May. And we have meetings with them. A majority of them are illiterate and cannot write, but yet we give them tips on how they can help their kids with their homework, what types of things that they can do, even just putting your kid to bed on time or at a good hour, making sure they have enough sleep. But we walk through these types of things with our parents. And then there, teachers. I'm going to talk about teachers now a little bit. There's a picture of our teachers, teaching staff. They're holding Let the Nations Be Glad. We do a lot of teacher development. The Dominican Republic, PISA publishes the national standards in education about every 2 years, and the Dominican Republic almost every year ranks dead last in reading and science, maybe second to the last in math. Educational system in the Dominican Republic is extremely poor, and we hire Dominican teachers, and so they are products of the same system. What do we do to combat that? And so on this next slide, you'll see this picture was taken about a year ago. It's not all of our teachers. We're around 24, 25 teachers in the school right now. And national teachers. In order to work for freedom, you do have to share your testimony. And so all of them are new creatures in Christ. So I praise the Lord for that. And he's brought in resumes. There for a while, it was like, Lord, you got to bring us some teachers. And he answered that prayer. Now I've got stacks of resumes, you know, that we get to go through. And that's the Lord who's providing that. And so we think they're believers. They come in, they share their testimony, and they do spend one full year in a training program before they start with us. And then even after that, Mary right there, in the middle, she was our very first Dominican teacher hired back in 2012. And she was looking for a school to teach in where it could be a ministry opportunity. She wanted, her heart was for the poorest of the poor, just like ours. And she's still a first grade teacher with us. And so just continually, though, we're pouring into her. And on this next slide, I do think that Christian education hinges on Christian teachers. They are the greatest asset. I fully believe that in our school. And everybody plays their role. I'm not saying that. But they are on the front lines. Luke 6:40 tells us, maybe you guys know this, when a student is fully grown, he'll be like his teacher. All right. Lives change lives. The building, it's great that we have this octagon, and Josh is going to geek out about it. I know he will. And that's to the glory of the Lord, too. But the four walls don't change those students. It's the teachers that do. And I think in teaching, our students are discipled in worldview, in philosophies, in ideas, and all of that comes out. That's why it's critical to us to continue to develop our teachers. And on this slide, you'll see Ada here. And when we found out last August that we weren't going to be allowed to open our school, and we started praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And this idea, Freedom U, was formed. Freedom University started because we didn't want to unemploy all of our teachers. And we felt like, you know, I would have never made this decision to shut down the school and train our teachers in an in-depth way for about 4 to 5 months. But the Lord did, you know. How awesome that His ways are higher than my ways, that His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, because it has been one of the most beautiful things that has happened as a result of COVID. The teachers were in 8 hours of classes. 4 of those were Bible. We have a Building on the Rock Foundation is our Bible curriculum for 1st through 6th grade. Wise Up is our 7th grade Bible curriculum. They did an Old Testament survey. They did a New Testament survey. We did Search for Significance. We also gave them content training, Spanish language arts, and in math, just to equip them to become better teachers, with homework and assignments and tests and all that type of stuff. And you know, as a result of that, not only are they better equipped, but after their Old Testament and New Testament classes, we had the teachers always write a reflection. So we could kind of just, you know, keep a pulse on how the training was going. And so you'll see on this next slide, Rosa, through the studies, they would write on here, and they'd be really transparent. And Rosa wrote, she's a teacher that's been with us for 4 years. And they're all believers, but this week I learned my identity doesn't come from my good actions, but from God, who is in His immense love and mercy made me His daughter. Today I see that what I do or what I say doesn't take away my identity in God. I am His daughter. Ada wrote, all my life I try to do and do to please God, but it's not by works. Now I understand that I am free in Christ and not a slave. I have access to the Father and can call Him Abba Padre. Oh, sorry, Abba Father. And so there are several letters that I would read and that I would hold on to. And you could just see the application of truth, you know, the working out of their salvation going on, the, you know, where they've learned truth, but now they're being discipled of how to walk in it, how to apply it to your daily life. And so this was huge. This was absolutely huge. And I give all the glory to God for making this decision for us. As a result of that, too, we in January, we found out that our we could do tutoring. The Dominican Republic said that they were going to do TV, school on TV. Our students don't have TVs. And so they allowed us to do tutoring groups. So this is hard to see. It's Flavia, our kindergarten teacher, with a group of 3 kiddos in Baocal. And so now we started going out. They teach them for 3 hours in Spanish and Bible and math. One of the benefits of this was we got to engage the parents. This is a 5th grade class happening right outside a parent's house. We got a witness to more unbelieving parents, and then we also got to come alongside. This is Hermes, our 6th grade teacher, praying with a believing mom. And so it was just really cool to see just more and more relationships happening. We also started a scripture memory verse program. We opened that up to every single kid in the Bate. So here they were lined up to say passages. They had to memorize all of Psalm 1. The next week, like the Colossians 2, 5 through 11, that condescension of Christ, passages of scripture. And 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds are doing that. So it was really cool. And then, yeah, here they are just saying their verses. And then, so I'm just going to share a little story here at the end. This is, you know, oftentimes the teachers are the ones that have the most relationships with their students. But every now and then, I get some of the toughest kids in the school that I get to spend time with on a daily basis. And Bebe is one of the, this was back in 2012. She came from Haiti, didn't come with her mom. Didn't come with her dad. Her mom had too many kids to take care of, so she was brought over and thrown in my class. And she suffered a lot of trauma. Even in first grade, she was hit in the head in a rock and suffered partial paralysis of her face. And now here's a picture of Bebe. She's practically a young woman. She's in sixth grade, and she's still going through some hardships. In February, Dad was trying to get a hold of Josh and I so that we could go out and help him. Bebe is just boy crazy, just seeking a boyfriend, chasing after boys, and her dad is in, you know, having us help him, and we have taken legal action in the past, but something had risen again, so we went out there on a Friday night to talk to her. And I'm talking to her. Josh is sitting on a stoop with a little boy named Wason. And Bebe, she does trust us. It's been 9 years practically for her with us. 9 years where she's been in our school, learning scriptural truths, struggling to hang on to those. And so as I'm talking to her, she was honest with me and told me she just wanted to be left alone. She didn't want us to care for her. She didn't care about God. She just wanted to be left alone so she could do what she wanted to do. And it was a spiritual battle, and I felt like every time she would tell me a lie she was believing, I'd give her truth right back with it. And she, you know, there's truth in there that she knows. So there was a foundation that's there. Josh is sitting on a stoop with a little fifth grade boy who's arguably the toughest kid in the school. I meet with him on a regular basis because of his behavioral problems. And so him and I are close. Him and I, we meet each morning and we would pray about how his day was going to go. And he had a little sticker chart, and we would discuss the day before and any failures, any successes. But through that relationship, he is starting to change. And he's sitting on a stoop with Josh, and Josh is trying to talk to him, keep him out of the way. He, all of a sudden, he comes to my aid in my conversation with Bebe. And he's like, Bebe's just believing the enemy. She's believing Satan, and that's only going to lead her to destruction. He memorized Psalm 1. The whole thing. He was memorizing those scripture verses the entire time during COVID. And I was so thankful to the Lord in that moment for just the whole entire circumstance that had passed. That even though Bebe, I wouldn't say her life has drastically changed yet, but we still have a relationship with her. She's calm right now. She's chill. And we will go on to have another day with her. And the same with Wason. We go on and we have more days to pour into them. And that's the cool thing that the school gives us. So up until just a few months ago, that was the last slide. But praise the Lord, this is the next slide. He opened the school for us. Last day we had school March 12th, and we just opened up again on June 7th. So most every other school in the whole entire country is closed down. There's a national mask mandate still. There's a national curfew still. The public schools, most of them are closed, even though they could open, but the teachers' unions are involved in there, and they are not open. And so we're like the only school in our area open to the glory of the Lord. He did that. So these are just some pictures. We just couldn't be more thankful. We are thankful for the COVID time. It felt like we were going through the desert, or maybe in a famine, maybe in captivity, like in Babylon. I don't know. But God was still present in the middle. So we praise him for that. And also for right now, now that he's let us use the tool that he's created again, we just couldn't be more thrilled. So I'll give it back to Josh.
All right. Good stuff. I tell you, the relationships that have been built or being built, it's just an ongoing struggle. And in that culture, I mean, this Bebe, yeah, we've known her since she was three. And in that culture, I mean, at 14, they're usually married, they're having babies. And, I mean, we're trying to, I mean, and even though it's illegal, it is technically illegal there. That's why she mentioned that we have gotten involved, because if a guy comes after a freedom girl, we get involved. In that. And so we have, you know, we've called the police on them. We've stepped in, and we're not popular then when we do that then in these bates, but we're trying to protect these kids. You know, the one guy there, Kurt, you know, you guys know him. This is Sonel, 2011, when we started ministry, and we started in Bate Lima. He lived there, And he just started, he was one of the first people really to accept Christ as we're doing the teaching, not just VBS. We offered some adult classes and stuff, and he would come to that. And he actually got saved there early on in 2011. Then he started volunteering in the preschool. And he just wanted to be involved with us in our ministry. So he volunteered in the preschool for 2 years, you know. And then, I mean, he's still with us. Obviously, he's on staff now, and he gets paid. He's not just volunteering anymore. But talk about coming a long way. I mean, he's actually one of our bus drivers now, too. So from the Bate there to, you know, to volunteering with us, to working for us, and his whole family, actually his parents, live on our campus as well. His dad is a watchman on campus. His mom then, Lana, she's on cleaning staff. She, you know, so Katie works with her daily. So the whole family's gotten involved there. And then there's Sonell now. He's one of our bus drivers, and he helps Kurt in the discipline office. And you'll hear all about the discipline office from Kurt. This is Andy. So this is one of the little boys I got to lead to the Lord in 2012 as we went to the next Bate, and we started meeting there and doing the VBS, and just a really kind little man. And so this is him now as he stopped by campus just the other day. And then this is him. I'm sorry, skipped it. And so now, you know, 10 years later, Andy is a preacher in his Bate and in the area there. So just kind of cool. Here's where Tony cracks up because I'm not a crier, and I get a little teary-eyed on this one. But it's, you know, in ministry and sometimes like teaching in a school, I mean, you don't get to see, you know, the fruit of what you're doing, you know, because obviously they're kids and then they go off and that sort of thing. So it's just really cool. You know, God's just gracious in that way that, you know, it's been 10 years. We've been down here for 10 years, but at least kind of see this little guy that I got to lead the Lord 10 years ago, and now he's a preacher in his Bate. It's just really cool. So here's where I get to geek out a little bit, like Tony said. We live on 25 acres. Some of you have heard all this before. The campus has grown. You know, it's completely off the grid. We've done all of our own power, solar. We have several wells on campus. We purify all of our own water, so all of our tap water is drinkable. And, yes, I usually say this, too. You know, the first 5 years we lived in San Pedro. We lived in the city, and it wasn't clean water. We had to buy bottled water, the big 5-gallon, you know, waters, and you carry them up. You filled them up every week, and you carried them home, and a little bleach in there still, and you couldn't flush toilet paper. I mean, all those great things of living in a third world country. And as we've developed our campus, and we do kind of razz the newbies, the new missionaries that move down there, you know, how good they have it coming to campus now with all this. So, and then one thing up there is the housing. I mean, we've built, there's actually another apartment building going up that's not even on this Google shot because it's not that new. But, you know, we've built 3 going on 4 apartment buildings now. And then we have a whole camp ministry. Upper right is a little multi-use building out there. There's 3 cabins out there. And we had just got started in camp ministry to where our older kids, 6th graders, 7th graders, I mean, they're doing week-long camps. They come to school on Monday morning, and then they go to camp. And then we'd see them again Friday afternoon after camp, and then they'd go back home. So we had them there, you know, doing full week camp or weekend camps with the younger ones. So that was something that was just getting started that we're looking to get, hopefully getting back into. So the camp ministry going. Bottom left, that little rectangle there, that's like the thatch roof of a bus barn. So, you know, one of the newer families in the last couple of years is a diesel mechanic. And so we have 8 different buses on campus now. You know, we are unique that we bus in our students. So no other school does that. You know, they all provide their own transportation or they're in walking distance and that sort of thing. So even that has been something different that we do, and obviously has its own challenges as well. Oh, and this is just a little zoomed in shot of campus. The school, the octagon, it's getting there. Now, we're actually not in a huge push for space right now to finish it off. But you can see, I mean, we're 3/4 of the ways around, at least on the first level, the third floor, where it's going to top out to 3 levels high, which that's what all the solar panels are on. You know, so we're over halfway on that. And that's another thing that came out of 2020 during all the shutdown time is the construction didn't stop. So we added another 12 classrooms and some other rooms and such so that, as Tony just for a year just kept coming up with all these different scenarios, just in case we could open, just in case we could open, have our kids back. So by the time, you know, they said we could open, that we'd be ready. So we have plenty of classrooms. We can space out the kids, and, you know, the buses are running. We get our kids out in the morning shift, and then they leave, and we get kids in the afternoon, so we can only have them for a half day and that sort of thing. And so things are getting back to normal. I think it's just a little drone shot of the school, and actually that's outdated a little bit now. So much has happened And then we get back to a little bit of our family. A lot's been going on with the family. If you want to speak to this slide, and I'll do the next one.
So our oldest, Kinsey, we praise the Lord that her and Carter, a godly man, were married in March. And she's now living in Lynchburg, Virginia, a kindergarten teacher while her husband finishes up his master's. Ellie and Gabe both graduated in May. So Ellie graduated with her teaching degree, too. She'll be a first grade teacher come this fall in Lynchburg as well. And her and then Gabe graduated high school. And so we praise the Lord for him. He moved to Lynchburg, too, where his sisters are. And he's working right now, and he hopes to start school in January, majoring in Bible. But he also really does. He's done a lot of videos for Freedom. And so that's something he's definitely passionate about. So kind of an update on him.
And then Ellie got married this past week. So our oldest got married in March, and then Ellie got married this past Thursday. And then also, Tony got her master's at the end of last year. She completed the master's. That goes along with her being the principal and in the school there and such. So just a lot going on with the family. And just a quick note on Father's Day. And I was talking to somebody. So we gained two son-in-laws, and they are godly men. They met our daughters in the Dominican Republic. So as we, you know, we're empty nesters now. So Gabe got kicked out, moved out last month. And there's so many new families down there with us. I mean, there's 35 full-time missionaries on campus now. And another 35, 36 little MKs running around. And so our kids have done it. We've raised our kids there 10 years, and now they're off on their own. And so the other families come down with the kids. And, I mean, we've loved raising our kids down there. And even like that, to where, hey, God had men for them. You know, he knew about those guys that we've been praying for years that would come along for our daughters, godly men. And he brought them to the DR. You know, they came on high school trips for 7-8 years as they got to know our daughters. And, you know, Charlotte's become a furlough destination for us over the years, too. You know, we got to split our time between Indiana and Charlotte, it seems like. And so just really praising God for that, you know, that we do go and we raised our kids down there. And, you know, our daughters did meet godly men down there. And no wedding plans for Gabe anytime soon. You know, and that's good. So we need a break maybe from weddings and such. So that's been good. I think just the last slide is some pictures from the first go around. I was a gym teacher for a little bit when we were out in the Bates. And so I cleaned the outhouses in the Bates the first 2 years. And then I was a gym teacher. So, and I had never been a teacher. You know what they say, like, those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach gym. Have you heard that one? So this day, I just stapled suckers to a T-shirt. And I ran around. And so that was gym class. And so the kids just had to chase me for a little while and get a sucker. So that's how I taught gym. Yeah, that's Wason. Oh, right up against me there is little. Oh, over here is Gabe and Wason. So he's one of our sixth graders now, and that's the hardest boy in school. Tony was saying where he's always in the discipline office, and so yeah, he's a lot bigger than that now. But he's also the one that kind of came to Tony's rescue there and was shouting down the lies that Babe was sharing. So yeah, so maybe just even got a couple of minutes, maybe some questions. I do have this picture of Caleb. Where is Caleb? You got to jump back there. There's Mr. Smiley. So he's known as Smiley on campus. We love him. And him and I know Gabe has hit it off, our son, so now Gabe's gone. It's sad. But we're going to look forward to having him back at least for a year and even longer. This is not the dentist. This is actually a barber. And he's getting a shave there, too. So I just thought I'd throw that up there just because I love you, picking on you. So maybe a couple of questions and then turn it back over to Sean here. So question.
More than half. Yeah, more than half. Probably right around 70%. We ended up, when we opened the campus, because we didn't open a campus until 2014, at that point, we added in a few more 3-year-olds they were in first grade at that point in time to get up to 30. But yeah. I would say it's about 50%. So we 50-50. Yeah, we pull 50% of our student population lives on the other side of the river. So if you've been down there, and some from a few kind of Haitian Batés, but the Ramon Santana is primarily Dominican students, and so it's about a 50-50 split. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do think they're appreciative of just the ability to get on a bus and come to school and have meals. They do have sin natures, and so they will complain about anything. But I do think deep down, one of the higher levels of discipline that we use is a suspension, a full-day suspension. And our kids absolutely hate that. Even as they're becoming seventh graders and soon to be eighth graders, to be denied the ability to come to school really hurts. And I think that speaks to that.
Yeah, I think the students do value it, and more the parents value it. Even at the beginning, it was a little difficult to get them to come maybe with us, or are we a legit school, or are they in the system, and that sort of thing, as we were taking away from the public schools that were offered in the Batés. But more and more have really bought into that and even fight for us. I mean, the parents down there, I mean, they wanted their kids back in school, a lot sooner than what the government allowed. The nearby town that we draw from, of Ramon Santana, I mean, the mayor there is a good friend of Freedom right now. Her kids are in our school, so we that those kind of relationships have come a long way as well. Yeah, Mike. There are some. There's been some in the past. Again, now the relationships are there better for the Ministry of Education and the ones really that you work with each day.
Yeah, because the whole Office of Education is politically based, and so whenever there's a change in administration, then all those people are out, and they put their new people in those places, and so that is a political game, and so it is something that we have to walk through. I've been able to practice just loving them like Jesus and showering them with love, and so the Lord's given us lots of opportunities. We don't get everything that public education gets. We were ready to open, and they just purposely didn't come out and see us, and delayed it, pushed other schools in front of us. And so we got the opportunity these are small things. Feel some injustice and know that we serve a God of justice ultimately. And so an opportunity is for us just to press into the Lord even more and cry out for his justice in those situations. Yeah.